This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by Reality Sports Online. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined by Pat Fitzmorris at Fitz_FF. We're going to get into the action very quick today because it's just a family episode. It's me and Pat. That's it. We're going to have the boss man, the big boss man over here, Matt Friedman, on. He couldn't make it today. The guy has got a black cloud over him this last week, but we will talk about some of his busts today at the end of the show after we go over ours. Before we dive into it, let me tell you guys about some stuff that we got going on at Fantasy Pros. We have a giveaway for Treylon Burks autographed jersey we are doing right now. All you need to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Take a screenshot that you are subscribed. Submit that to fantasypros.com/dynastycontest. That's fantasypros.com/dynastycontest. And you are entered in to win. Do it as soon as possible because this ends at the end of July. And I wish I was eligible because I love Treylon Burks and I want that jersey. Also, check out our Discord. It's on there Monday. I did a little early because I want to watch the Home Run Derby last night, Fitz. But our Discord is free to enter, but premium Fantasy Pro subscribers get a whole bunch of other perks, dozens of extra channels, regularly scheduled AMAs, interactive voice chats with our analysts. That's what I'm doing on Mondays. So if you want to talk fantasy whenever you want or chat with the Fantasy Pros analysts, just check out our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Again, that's fantasypros.com/chat. Fitzy, I'm excited to talk about bust. I will say this. I don't really care for the term busts because I think bust implies you're completely eliminating this guy from your list. I don't ever really eliminate anyone from my list completely, but I will bury them sometimes to where I know I'm going to have zero shares of a player. So bust just has a negative connotation to it, I think, more than people give it credit for. What do you think? Do you think there is such thing as sleepers or busts anymore? Or we just kind of know that these are guys we probably won't be rostering this year.
Yeah. Maybe call it our trepidation list, Boggs. And I know some people would even have the aforementioned Treylon Burks on it, but I wouldn't. I would like to have that, autographed merch from Treylon. Cause you know, remember last year how everyone got down on Ja'Marr Chase because he was dropping balls.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't catch the football.
Right?
Yeah,
He had the yips, the equivalent of a golfer having the yips.
Good
and
Lord.
Why do I get the feeling that this year Treylon Burks' asthma is going to be like the 2022 version of Ja'Marr Chase's drops?
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't do the drills in OTA, whatever. Like, I'm not worried about it, man.
Yeah, you know, people ask me if I'm worried about Treylon Burks and his asthma. I said, well, you know, look, you think they don't have pollen and allergens in Arkansas,
yeah, right,
where he played, right? Like, it's a different time of year than when he normally plays, so it's probably a little bit worse for him. You know, maybe it is going to be worse in Tennessee. I don't know, but I can tell you right now that asthma is not going to stop me from drafting Treylon Burks. I mean, there's plenty of guys in the league that have played with asthma that don't have issues. I'm sure that it gets bad for guys and it drums them out. I know that, you know, guys with sickle cell anemia can't play in Denver because of the elevation, right? Ryan Clark was a guy for Pittsburgh that had to have his spleen removed after playing in Denver one time. So anytime the Steelers went to play in Denver, Ryan Clark got a seat on that bench. He wasn't going to play because it could kill him. It almost did one time. So there are things that bother players, but come on, asthma in July, in June, I do not care about that for the regular season. Treylon Burks has been playing with asthma his whole life, and he's been fine. So I don't care about his asthma acting up for minicamp. I think he's going to be okay. Like, would you like to see him out there getting reps with the starting quarterback and stuff? Of course. You know, so if you want to say that sets him back because he had that, okay. But I'm not going to avoid him on my draft day because of asthma. No, sir. I am absolutely with you.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to book a Mid-South allergen specialist on our next show to do a segment talking about the pollen differences in Nashville and Fayetteville.
That would be a little even more granular than I'm willing to go, Fitzy, I think. So, but it's a good idea. But let's start out with some busts here. Who's first on the Fitz list of guys that are a bust and you are probably not going to be taking?
Oh, man. Talk about low-hanging fruit, Boggs. I'm going to start with Leonard Fournette, who, you know, after looking slightly overweight, and now we read that maybe he was close to 260, suboptimal, I think it's fair to say, for a running back. You know, unless you're Craig Ironhead Hayward or...
Jerome Bettis.
So, I mean, like, he had the perfect storm last year. It's just this... he's playing with a 45-year-old quarterback who doesn't want to get hit and is very eager to dump off the ball. And Rojo, train wreck as a pass blocker and pass catcher. Giovanni Bernard, really good as a pass catcher and pass blocker, but was hurt. So that kind of left Fournette as the only game in town. They didn't trust Keyshawn Vaughn. And so Fournette gets all these dump-off passes and becomes immensely valuable in PPR leagues, really all leagues, but especially PPR. And this year, well, Gio's healthy, and they draft Rashad White, who we have talked about at length on this show, who can catch and can pass block. Like, that's kind of his thing. I don't think they're going to lean on Fournette as heavily as they did last year. And it's possible, like, he gets challenged by one of these guys for snaps and touches.
It's funny, Fitz, because I've been the Leonard Fournette apologist forever. And I'm, I believe, lower than ECR on him going into this season. And I still like him. And you know what? I actually love this report that he's overweight and that coaches are pissed because I know it's going to drop his value. And guys coming into camp overweight, it's not, you know, look, it's easy news. Like you said, it's suboptimal. It's not a good thing to come in and look fat and sloppy and have that be your, you know, the coach's first look at you going into this season, and you could get behind the eight ball, but guys come into to camp up weight because they know they're going to cut a ton of weight in camp. Now he's going to have to cut way more than a traditional guy. He's going to have to cut like 30 pounds before the season starts here to be where he was playing at last season. Assumingly, you know, where he was playing at last season, maybe he was up a little bit more last year too, but here's the thing. I don't trust Gio Bernard at all. I think he's washed. So he doesn't, for me, he doesn't do anything to the Leonard Fournette replacement. The other thing is I like Rashad White. I think he's got a bright future in the NFL. But is Tom Brady going to want that rookie out there pass blocking for him? You know what I mean? And running routes. Rashad White is going to have to earn the trust quickly to push Fournette. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It's definitely there. And if Fournette can't get healthy in time, it's just another brick against him. So, but I actually like Leonard Fournette having a little bit of bad news right now, because I know it's going to drop him in some drafts and make him more available for me, because in all the, I've done 6-7 mocks. I haven't had one share of Fournette so far. I've done a couple drafts. I don't have any Fournette shares, and I have been the Fournette guy for the last couple years. And last year made me look like a genius, but this year it could be the perfect storm making me look like an idiot if I take him too quick. That extra weight can get you hurt too. That's the big thing. If you don't drop the weight and you get hit, you know, David Boston is the perfect example of when you have too much weight on top and you have chicken legs, you're just never going to last in the NFL. So hopefully Fournette gets that fire lit under him with everyone being angry at him here. So
Boggs, I will say, so since we're, you know, and I know in redraft his price has stayed, like it hasn't really dropped yet. Maybe the weight thing. And make no mistake, I'm a Packers fan, Boggs. I cheered for Eddie Lacy, and I didn't worry about you know, the extra weight with him. So not too worried about that with Fournette. I'm more worried about why, like, pass blocking was kind of his thing at Arizona State, or at least, you know, the scouting reports I've read that he excels in that area. But, like, what do you think Fournette's window is in Dynasty? Like, how many more productive seasons do you think he has?
One or two. Not a ton, yeah. Because we know these guys break down. He had the huge workload last year. He's going to have, a decent workload, I think, again this year. But really, I think the bust year for Fournette comes the first year that Brady is gone. And that could have been this year. It could be next year. But I think they're going to try to overwork him when that happens. And it's just going to be too easy, because if Kyle Trask is your answer at QB, and I like Trask probably more than most people. He's gotten better every year that he's been around. He improves. So having him behind Brady, I think, is huge for his career. He could come out and be great. But even if he is good to start, I think your process as a coach is, let's do the run game first. Let everything works through the run. That you're going to see a lot of that in Seattle this year with Geno Smith or Drew Lock back there, right? A team that already runs more. You're going to, more than anyone, the Seahawks, you're going to see that with Tampa Bay too, once that happens. And because you don't have trust in that QB. So I think that's when he breaks down. So I think this is really kind of the last year. If he's peaking and your team isn't, and you can trade him off and get decent value for him, that's probably what I'm doing. But, you know, we keep saying Brady could retire at any point here. I think he still likes Fournette. This year is going to go a long way for his future, though. But I'm with you. Like, his ECR is RB11. I have Fournette. I might have him at 11. Actually, I have him at 10 in PPR. So I guess I have him ahead. I might dip him below.
Boggs, is that redraft or dynasty?
That's redraft.
Okay.
And I'm looking at these redraft ranks, and the reason I did ECR for redraft is because we're talking about busts for this year. So, the number more implies this season versus dynasty. But this is the time. Like, right now, if you believe Fitz and you think that Fournette is going to bust and you really don't like this news, the time to trade him is now. It probably was actually a week ago, now that we got this news that he's coming in at 260 and all that stuff. But if he starts the year fast and your team, if you're rostering him and your team isn't good, I think now is the time to trade him. So that's kind of the point. Like, when we're looking for busts for this year, it's about getting out from underneath their value. So my first one here, Fitzia, I'm going to go to the QBs. And I'm going to go to Kyler Murray, who I have been an apologist for since he came into the NFL. I said, I don't care about guys being small, being short, really. And throwing, like, the guy was incredible at Oklahoma. And, you know, it hurts my heart to give Oklahoma any credit. But the guy was incredible. He goes to Arizona. He ends up with Cliff Kingsbury as his head coach, who runs Air Raid. Guy got fired from Texas Tech, but somehow became the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Still don't know how that works, but he's there, and they're a pass-first system and all that stuff. But there are things that I don't like, and his ECR's QB5, his ADP is QB5. I have him at 11, and I was lowest of all rankers on ECR. I think the lowest before I dropped him in at 11 was 10 for his rank. So I am the lowest ranker on Murray for this season. And there's just so many little things that add up for me disliking Kyler Murray. Excuse me. the weirdness about the contract and the social media nonsense, it was like red flag number one. Like, you know, that they had this whole dance of the offseason of, oh, Kyler Murray unfollowed the Cardinals on Instagram and unfollowed all of his team, which is news. I mean, I hate that it's news as an old man yelling at clouds. I don't like that that's news, but it is. It's news. Hopkins suspended 6 games to start the year. Not good. Christian Kirk is gone. Yes, they brought in Marquise Brown, who I like, and I like him getting out of Baltimore and going to a more vertical passing system in Arizona. But, you know, Marquise Brown is not going to replace Hopkins and Kirk's production in this offense from last year. And really, the big thing that I don't like about Kyler Murray moving forward is the injury stuff, because it's really his size is getting him hurt. He had the ankle injury last year. He missed 3 games in the middle of the season, actually came back and performed pretty well. But if you see him keep taking these shots, keep getting hurt, keep getting shots, he's going to get hurt again. And he's a smaller dude. So I think the Cardinals are going to be less willing to let him run, which is where a lot of his value comes from. And it just hurts his overall game. So that plus the fact that the offensive line is still rough. I mean, I know a lot of people don't trust PFF ratings and everything, but if you look at his offensive line, every single spot from left tackle to right tackle, it graded lower than the 50% marker. So if there's 80 tackles, both tackles ranked 41 or worse. Yeah, you know, there's, I think, Rodney Hudson, who just announced he's coming back, which is a nice boost for this line for the Cardinals, but he ranked 31 out of 39 qualified centers last season. So the line is bad. He's probably going to be less willing to run him starting this season because of the injury stuff that he's had. There's little pieces missing in the offense, and there's some disconnect between himself and ownership. So it all these little pieces, tea leaves, add up to me not liking Kyler Murray for this year. What do you think about Kyler Murray as a potential bust, Fitz?
Yeah, Boggs, we agree on so much, and I like that we're maybe going to argue a little bit on this podcast. Okay. So like we it. Can argue Good. About Kyler. I won't argue with you about the offensive line, and it's funny mm-hmm. how the Cardinals are one of those teams that can just never get their O-line sorted. I don't think they've had a good offensive line since, like, Dan Dierdorf and Conrad Dobler were playing. look them up, kids.
Yeah, Dan Dierdorf is so old, he retired from being an announcer on Monday Night Football. So, you know.
Exactly. Like, I've had him in what I consider to be my primary league, and this was a 2-year-old league, Boggs. And, like, when he is right, Kyler is just a powerhouse as far as scoring points. I mean, a dude who
led the league,
you...
I think, in big time throws, another PFF stat last year. But to get those throws, you hold on the ball a lot, which means you take some shots too.
And he is, I'm not going to contend that he's undersized. He's definitely that. But he. So for one thing, like I think last year he had a high ankle sprain. I think that he got in the week 8 game against the Packers, who went down to Arizona and beat them on the road.
He missed 9, 10, and 11. He missed those weeks.
He missed those, and then he didn't finish strongly at all. I mean, the Cardinals just went into the tank at the halfway point of the season after getting off to that great start and having the number one seed at the halfway point, I think. So I blame some of that on injuries, but even with that, he averaged 7.9 yards per attempt last year after in his first 2 years, I think were 6.9 and 7.1. Progress there. The rushing numbers slowed down in large part because he missed time and was, you know, dealing with that ankle after he came back. Yeah. But I mean, in 2020, he had 819 rushing yards and 11 TD runs. I mean, like, he and Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts are, and maybe Trey Lance, those are the dudes. Josh Allen, I guess I can't forget him.
But Lamar, like, Jackson.
Didn't I say Lamar?
Right. Did you say
anyway,
Lamar? I was just making sure.
So, yeah, Lamar, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance, Kyler Murray. Those are the guys who can give you those lights out rushing numbers. And, but I think out of those guys, you know, I think Kyler's a better passer than Lamar. I definitely think he's a better passer than Hurts. And, mm-hmm. you know, for now, I think we have to consider him a better passer than Lance. So, like, I think there is just, you know, this smash upside with him still. And, yeah, Hopkins is suspended, but when he gets back, he's going to have Hopkins, Marquise Brown, Zach Ertz, Rondale Moore. I mean, he's going to be stacked.
I mean, I hope that, I mean, Ertz was so good for them down the stretch, by the way. It's incredible how good he was.
Trey McBride waiting in the wings if Ertz gets old.
I really didn't want to like Ertz because they don't use a tight end that much in this offense.
Right.
You know, but they just play him at wide receiver and he's fine. Yeah. So,
And now they've got two great tight ends with McBride.
Yeah, McBride is also good. So, like, there's potential here, but it's the injuries. And I think the coaching staff knows, you know, I love Colt McCoy, but you can't go to Colt. You know, you have to have Kyler back there. So I think they're going to be less willing to rush him. So we'll see. Look, I'm willing to be wrong, and that's okay. I'm not drafting him where he's going. He's going in the top five. I won't take him there. My fifth QB is Dak. Dak has had some injury issues too. I know people don't like him. That's fine. But I trust Dak more throwing the ball than I do Kyler. So that's why I have him. Who's your second bust? Who do you have for number two here, Fitzy?
Yeah, so I've got James Cook. I think we might argue about this too, Boggs. Mm-hmm. And it's it is for this year and it might be for the early part of his career, because I think a lot of people see him going to Buffalo as like this great landing spot. But I wonder about that. Like, does Josh Allen really benefit running backs, or does he actually hurt them? Because in Allen's four seasons as the Bills quarterback, no Bills running back has run for more than 870 yards. No Bills running back has had more than 269 receiving yards. The Bills have ranked in NFL percentage of team targets to running backs 19th, 26th, 29th, and 29th. I mean, like a mobile quarterback, it's just easier for him to take off than check down. And Allen has had 31 touchdown runs, and Bills running backs collectively have had 28. He has had three more touchdown runs than all Bills running backs by three over his 4 years. So, like, not a lot there. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, the Bills running backs have sucked. And, I mean, yeah.
That's a big part of it. Yeah,
it is. Like, I get it. But, like, he doesn't dump off. Like, I don't think that the percentage of targets.
He wants
to
throw the ball down the field.
He does. And if it's not there, he's just going to boogie. And so, I mean, that's a big thing. And you're bringing in a pass catching running back. And like, is he going to really kick Devin Singletary to the curb, who has been effective? I know they don't want Singletary to like handle everything by himself, but like James Cook was a platoon back at Georgia. Like, do we really think he's going to be like a heavy duty back? And he's a smaller dude. So if he is mostly a pass catching back with like a little bit of change of pace work, boy, man, I don't know if a pass catching back is going to cut it with Josh Allen.
Here's my thing with Cook and why I like Cook for this year. And by the way, you have him ranked ahead of ECR and ADP. I believe if 32 is your ranking for PPR, you probably need to move him down if you don't like him.
I do.
Just to be clear there. My thing with Cook is I think there's opportunity for him. I think he's a better running back as a whole than Devin Singletary. Now, if you took Zamir White and James Cook and put them both in, the Georgia backfield, put them both in Buffalo, I'd say, all right, well, it's easy. Zamir White's your between the tackles guy. James Cook is your pass catching back. It hurts both their value. I think Cook is better overall than Singletary is right now. I think he's more explosive. He can obviously catch the ball out of the backfield, and you can run him out of the slot. Not that you need to in Buffalo, because there's so many good wide receivers in Buffalo, but you can. So I think that skill, James Cook's skill, beats out Singletary by the end of the season. I think he's going to be an incredibly annoying player to own this year, because it's going to be like the first couple of weeks. He's not getting 5-7 touches, something like that. And then he's really going to have to earn this role to beat out Singletary. So I'm higher on Cook than most people, but he's a gamble. Like the realm of possible outcomes is enormous for Cook. He could easily be a guy that gets 5 touches a game and is a special teamer. You know, we could get some Dree Archer going here for Steelers fans that remember Dree Archer. You think you want this, but then you have no idea how to use it. You know, in terms of, you know, pass catching backs like that, that could be something. But I think you draft a guy like James Cook because you say this is an element of the offense that we don't have, and we're going to start to add it. Now, That could be wrong. Could be flawed logic. But I just think there's two things there. Number one, he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield, which they haven't had. And number two, I think he's already better than Singletary. So I didn't like Singletary that much coming out of FAU. He doesn't have good long speed, but he looked great at the end of the year and he earned that role. So Cook is going to have to take it away from him in season. He's not going to go into the season as the starter. So I see where you're coming from. I think I'm still taking a risk. If I have solid backs, I would risk and take a flyer on Cook, knowing that it may take a little bit for him to earn this role. So, but he could be a bust. He is definitely, that is in the realm of possible outcomes for him for sure. Before we move on, let me tell you guys about Reality Sports Online. By now, most of you probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go and see what all the buzz is about in the Dynasty community. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. That's it. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test your general manager skills for free, FREE, in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. All right, my second bust here, Fitzy, I'm going to go to the Chiefs backfield, and I'm going to say CEH. Now, look, I'm not that far off of ADP for CEH for redraft. 27 is his ECR. His ADP also is 27. I have him at 31. I have concerns about Ronald Jones in this backfield, and not just Ronald Jones, but also Jerick McKinnon. So I think, you know, we know Andy Reid has been a guy that has mixed running backs forever. You know, there are guys that have held value in an Andy Reid offense, Brian Westbrook being, you know, probably our you know, most favorite one in terms of fantasy production, the best one in terms of fantasy production from this offense. We thought Clyde Edwards was going to work. He just hasn't. In 2021 last year, in overall points, he was 44th among running backs, 119.6. He missed a couple games. So in terms of points per game in a PPR league, he was 29th at 11.96. 2020 is a little better. He's 22nd overall with 176 points and 23rd in points per game, making him a low-end RB2. But this is, you know, look, a lot of stuff that we hear right now is going to be, you know, like we just heard recently that Rashad Penny is going to get 20 touches a game, right? But that's speculation by a beat writer. That's not Pete Carroll saying that. And even sometimes when coaches say things, you have to take them with a grain of salt, particularly Pete Carroll. I call him Pollyanna Pete because every player is the best player that I've ever had. You know, they're going to have a great season. We're counting on them. Like all the stuff in the media that he says, Pete Carroll says, sounds like that. But Andy Reid is a little bit less of a BSer. And this is what he said after they signed Ronald Jones. He said, he's a tough runner with good vision. I'll take that. And he needs that opportunity to feel like he's a major part of this thing. We'll give him that. I've got Clyde in there too, so it'll just help take some pressure off and they'll work together and be a pretty good combo. That doesn't sound like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is one and Ronald Jones is two. And then here comes McKinnon for the passing work. Also, you know this, we just talked about Ronald Jones is garbage at protecting the quarterback at pass blocking. So is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Both these guys are bad at it. So Jerick McKinnon is probably going to take that role because he was very, very high in terms of pass blocking grade and things of that nature in PFF. He runs better routes than both these guys. He has shorter hands than both these guys. So it looks like it's going to be a big, ugly mix to me. And with Ronald Jones going, you know, his ADP is around 40. I feel like I'd rather take the risk on the upside of Ronald Jones being the new guy and potentially breaking out in this system than see what they've had for the last couple years in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I was a Clyde Edwards-Helaire fan of him coming out of LSU. I like him in this offense. It just hasn't worked, Fitz. What do you think of CEH moving forward here?
Well, Boggs, we're not going to argue here. I'm not going to be bidding on CEH in my reality sports online auctions. So, I mean, it's, I had a little bit of hope for CEH still when they had not re-signed Jerick McKinnon yet, because the Chiefs actually do target running backs. Mahomes targets running backs at a very high rate. And to this point in his career, CEH has not really commanded targets. Like, even though he was thought to be this, you know, like that was the appeal, that he was going to be this great cat pass catching back after being used so, you know, as such a kind of Swiss Army knife at LSU. And it just hasn't happened, man. He's got, let's see, 77 targets in 23 career games. So what, just over three targets a game, 2.4 catches a game. I mean, like, he's not a complete zero in the passing game, but man, it's such a far cry from what we were expecting out of this guy. Then they before they re-signed McKinnon, I still had hope that he was going to maybe improve in that area, because who else was going to do it? But then they re-signed McKinnon, and that really put a pin in the balloon for me. And yeah. Also, Boggs, I mean, they've still got, Isaiah Pacheco, who we've talked about with Matt Waldman, who really likes him. And
Jermaine Ealy, who I like.
You mentioned Dree Archer before. There's Dree Archer
2.0, right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So other guys who could, you know, definitely jostle with CEH for those targets. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. Ronald Jones is probably just the better early down move the sticks type back. So
yeah,
I don't know what's left for CEH here. Like, he's going to have to fight to carve out a role for himself. And this is no longer a guy I have any enthusiasm about whatsoever.
Yeah, I would love to see him earn that role, you know, to have Ronald Jones finally push him into what we want him to be. I just don't think I can expect it. Who's number three on your bust list here, Fitzy?
More arguments, Boggs. Marquise Hollywood Brown. So ECR, I think he's wide receiver 23. ADP, wide receiver 21. I've got him late 20s at wide receiver 29. So he's had under 50 yards in 27 of 46 career games. That's 59%. And it is sort of a, I know that with a guy who's like a high average depth of target receiver, a field stretcher, a vertical guy like this, that you're going to have some hit and miss games. And who was famous for that? DeSean Jackson, who was like
very famous, yeah,
would give you these spectacular blow up games and then disappear for a couple of weeks.
Also drop the ball before the goal line. Yeah.
And drop the ball before the goal line. But here's the thing, Boggs. I mean, DeSean Jackson's career average was 9.9 yards per target. That's really good. Marquise Brown's 7.4. That's not so good for a deep guy. And, you know, I talked about this in a little video short I did for Fantasy Pros earlier this week with rookies to avoid, and talking about Wandale Robinson. Like, we haven't seen in the Super Bowl era we have had, and this, it should be noted, Marquise Brown is 5'9". We have had 38,000-yard seasons from receivers 39 or shorter in the Super Bowl era. So that's 38 such seasons in 56 years. And actually, Hollywood Brown does have one of them, so we have to give him credit for that.
Last year.
Yep. But only 12 different guys have done it. So, like, you're getting less than one season from a short receiver on average. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not necessarily team big receiver. Like, I don't need all my guys to look like AJ Green. But, you know, as a long-term investment, I don't know, man. I do want a guy who's bigger and, you know, isn't built like my 15-year-old son. So I do have some issues here.
Look, I understand the trepidation of not wanting to take Marquise Brown. Guy was the number one option in Baltimore. And it took the Baltimore secondary just dying last year. I mean, everyone was hurt back there. Anthony Averett wound up as a starting corner. I believe him and Diggs and Anthony Brown kept trading every week of who's going to give up the most yards in the NFL, right? In terms of passing, I think Averett might have ended as the worst one. And I don't know if you knew this stat, because I mentioned it last week. The Ravens threw the ball more than the Cardinals last year, which is incredibly surprising, but they had to. They played catch up at the end of most games because, you know, they gave up so many yards. the reason I like Marquise Brown, and this is an argument because I picked him as a breakout last week. Now, look, I also put Kyler Murray in my bust category. So where am I here, right? I understand those questions. But look, I just think he's easily the number one in this offense with Hopkins suspended. And I think that's going to give him enough time to develop a rapport with Murray that they already have had at Oklahoma. His best season by far was at Oklahoma. And this is a different offense, right? I actually am shocked that the average depth of target for Marquise Brown was over 10 yards. Last year it was 12 yards, his average depth of target. So in a vertical passing offense like this, I think he's just going to have some big hitter games where, you know, he's going to be down the field. He's going to be wide open and Murray's going to hit him. They don't let Lamar throw the ball deep in Baltimore. They never have, which just like all of Marquise Brown's value is in the deep ball. So I'm just excited to see him get out of this, you know, Neanderthal run first garbage offense that they've been running in Baltimore, which has worked. And they're going to go back to this year because they want to run the ball more because that defense was so bad last year. They want to keep it on the sideline and gassed up for when they have to go out there. But I understand not liking him and I understand not liking this Cardinals offense. So we'll disagree about this. I'm going to be in on Marquise Brown, but I understand the points that you're making where you're coming from, because it's absolutely within the realm of possibility. So, and that's what I always say, like, you got to look at a player and know what his ceiling is and what his floor is. I feel like because Marquise Brown hasn't had this opportunity to play in this type of offense that throws the ball deep, that I'm excited about him. You say he's been a number one wide receiver. He's had a quarterback that can throw the ball deep and he still hasn't produced until last year because they had to throw the ball a million times. Why is he all of a sudden going to produce now? I think they're both fair arguments. So you have to kind of, you have to take both these thoughts and get somewhere in the gray, in the middle, which nobody wants to do. Twitter, social media, very black and white. They don't want the gray area, but that's probably where he's going to live, is somewhere in that gray area. My number three here, I'm going to go down to another running back, and it's Melvin Gordon. And I know, look, this plays off of what I said last week, right? Javonte was my obvious pick for a breakout. Melvin Gordon is not being drafted high. His ADP right now is running back 35. His ECR is 33. I'm not killing him, but I do have him. That makes him a low-end RB3. I have him more as a high-end RB4 at running back 39 for me, even in a PPR. And look, Gordon signed back with the Broncos on April 26th, 2 days before the draft. So they let him walk. Remember, there were rumors that Melvin Gordon was going to sign with the Ravens, I believe April 8th. So that was kind of a talking point. He met with the Ravens. He went through them. I don't know if he wanted too much money, if they didn't want to give him any money. I don't know what the problem was, if he didn't pass a physical, if they didn't like what this. I don't know what it was. But he had a shot to go to Baltimore, who they're running back desperate. They, you know, we heard the news that Dobbins could start on the PUP, which he has obviously refuted and has been a big joke now with Ian Rapoport. But Gus Edwards and Dobbins both coming off ACL injuries. They ended up signing Mike Davis. You're telling me that you had a shot to get Melvin Gordon and you would rather sign Mike Davis just because of the contract? Something's not adding up here. So I'm a little bit worried about Melvin Gordon. Plus, this is a new coaching staff in Denver. They do use two running backs, right? We've seen it in Green Bay. We saw, you know, Jones and Dylan play perfectly fine together. But it's funny because Javonte was the clear breakout guy until they re-signed Melvin Gordon. Everyone's dropping Javonte down to 12. They let Gordon walk. He came back to the Broncos because no one was signing him. So to me, I think Javonte is going to move into the category of running backs you don't take off the field because they're too good. CMC, Derrick Henry, Najee, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. These are guys you don't take off the field. If they're not gassed, they pull themselves off the field. That's when they do it. I think Javonte is going to enter that group this year. So I think that Melvin Gordon, if you're expecting him to be a big piece of this offense, I think it's going to get bad, especially on that back end. So I am not going to be investing in Melvin Gordon at all this year because of what I think Javonte is going to develop into. And this is a new coaching staff and Russell Wilson's going to be able to pass the ball. So what do you think about Melvin Gordon moving forward here, Fitzy?
Well, Boggs, we've been arguing on this show. Now I feel like you're just getting hurtful and personal, bringing a Wisconsin running back into it. I mean, hold on. Just let me add Devin
29-year-old Wisconsin running back.
Yeah, let me add some Texas guys. Hold on. Devin Duvernay. All right. No, it's fair, man. Like, so, you know, we're talking dynasty. So if we're calling him a bust and we're thinking the bottom drops out, we're just basically telling people, okay, don't you know, you're trying to win for this year, don't flip a, you know, 2024 second rounder or 2023 second rounder for him. And that's fair, man. Like, I can't tell. You know, I'm not, I know there are analysts across the fantasy space making predictions about, you know, oh, hey, why are people drafting Javonte so high? It's going to be a 50-50 again, or saying this is the year Javonte leaves Melvin Gordon in the dust and claims, like, you know, more of a 60-65% share of the workload. I don't know how that's going to go, man. Like, I don't pretend to know what they're thinking about how they're going to parcel out the workload. I do know I don't think Melvin Gordon is just dust yet. I think he's been pretty good. I mean, he did average more yards per carry and more yards per catch than Javonte last year. They're both really good. I mean, Javonte's, you know, a stud. He's going to have a great career. We know that. I mean, he passes, you know, every possible eye test. But, you know, Gordon's a guy who's averaged double digit targets or double digit touchdowns ever since that ill-fated rookie season where he had zero. Since then, I think it's been like 11.3 a season, which is just crazy. So he's aged pretty well. Wouldn't surprise me if he continued to be relevant this year, but, you know, I'm not going to.
Look, there's no one behind him either. Yeah. So that's a good argument against this.
Is Mike Boone still there?
Yeah, Mike Boone is number two. But also, like, if someone gets cut, I could see the Broncos trading for some or picking someone up to be behind him instead. Cause Mike Boone went through an injury as well last year. So I think Javonte's a breakout. That's why I'm not high on Melvin Gordon. So who's totally number four for you, Fitzy?
All right. Keenan Allen. And I know he is kind of a sacred cow in fantasy football. but he's 30 now. This is going to be his age 30 season. And we've seen the efficiency drop off. He's only averaged 10.3 yards per catch his last 2 years. And 7.0 yards per target his last 2 years. So the efficiency is kind of nosediving. And I think people forget that 5 weeks into the 2021 season, Mike Williams was the wide receiver two in PPR, full PPR. I think in like half point, he was actually a little bit ahead of Cooper Kupp for wide receiver one. And in PPR, Keenan Allen was down at wide receiver 17. So then Williams tweaked his knee in week five. You know, he was kind of not himself for a few weeks after that, and they sort of ratcheted up Allen's target share. Like, I think he's still going to get targets and catches, but, you know, Allen's never been a big TD guy, and he's certainly not a big play guy anymore at this point of his career. I mean, I think the concern is that he turns into like a glorified Jacoby Myers. That's no big plays and no touchdowns. And to do that, you need a crap load of catches to rack up those PPR points. And when you catch, you know, to his credit, Keenan Allen, after some injury problems in his first few years in the league, has suddenly become a very durable player. But like, if you're doing it on volume, well, that's more hits you're taking. And this is a dude who's, you know, made his bones over the middle of the field. So like, I have some worries here, and like, if I had him, it wouldn't be a bad time to get out, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and before this season, I think this is the, you know, people call it the falling knife. I like the, you know, the yodeler on Price is Right.
Yes.
Where if you set that, if you set that price too high, he goes to the top of the cliff and then he falls off. Right. That's what you get with pretty much any running wide receiver, running back, any non-quarterback in the NFL over the age of 30. You start to get questions. And he, I believe, will turn 32 this season, 157 targets last year. And this is one of my biggest discrepancies in terms of rank for this year versus dynasty. I have him at 9. For this year, because I still think he's going to be okay. Herbert is awesome. Mike Williams is a nice compliment next to him. Like, I think it all works this year. But for, in terms of dynasty, I have him at wide receiver 27. So It's one of my biggest differences because he is going to fall off at some point. You hope it's not this year, but also, you know, if you're rostering him on a team that is a maybe, is wishy-washy, you start the year bad, you start out 0-3, 0-4, someone's looking for Keenan Allen, you can get him for a first round pick for him next year, pull that trigger. Because he's going to fall off at some point here pretty soon because he's over 30. This is a good offense. He could help somebody win a championship now. You make sure you get your investment for next year. I think a trade like that would be a fair deal. I mean, even preseason, if Keenan Allen's like your last good option, trading him for a pick would make a lot of sense too. So yeah. I see this one in terms of dynasty.
Just for the record, he's only 30. He turned 30 in late April.
I thought he was born in 92. Make him 30. I don't know why I'm thinking it's 2024 because
that's
done.
Okay. But so. But we're still in the we are getting into that. He's definitely past the age apex, I think, and hopefully, you know, it would be nice. He's had a really excellent career, and I would like to see him go gently down that slope as he gets into his twilight years and not suffer the fate of the Price is Right Yodeler. So,
yeah. Have you ever heard the story about that? There's a story just quickly. I'll go through this cause we've got two more to do, but there's a story. They were doing this in Europe, and he named the guy Fritz, and he goes, oh, there goes Fritzy. The lady who was in the contest cried and ran off. Her husband was named Fritz. She was German or something, and he got lost mountain climbing.
It's just weird.
I read this story about it. It was just so funny. my fourth bust, I'm going to go with Amari Cooper, the new Browns wide receiver. And I've got him at wide receiver 27 for this year. ECR on him is wide receiver 22. His ADP is wide receiver 24. So just basically, I don't want him as a wide receiver 2. Is basically my thing with Amari Cooper. There's this weird stat that Marcus Mosier put out about him. I don't know if you saw this, Fitz, but it's over 52 degrees, 66.2 yards per game for Amari Cooper. Under 52 degrees, 42.6 yards per game for Amari Cooper. So it looks like he may be a warm weather gamer. This is a goofy stat. It doesn't mean a ton. But someone asked right under that, great question to ask, what about his quarterback's yards per game by that temperature? He said, Dak since 2017, over 52, 271.4 yards, under 52, 268.1. So only a difference of 3 yards. So I don't know if that means anything, but he is going from a dome to a cold weather stadium. So that adds just a little bit. Watson's going to be suspended this year for sure. So Jacoby Brissett's going to be the next man up. He's going to have to endure what looks like at least 6 games. With Jacoby Brissett, it could be fine, but he's not Dak. He's not Deshaun Watson. So there's a little bit of concern there. Steady decline the last 3 seasons in Dallas. He was 30th in 2020, he was 22nd, 2019, he was 16th. And this is in points per game in PPR league. So also there's no other good wide receivers on this roster. And for his career, 45.4% contested catch rate. That is a stat from PFF. So under 50% on contested catches when he's most likely going to be doubled up a decent amount as the number one wide receiver by a wide margin in Cleveland. So all these little things add up to me. I don't hate Amari Cooper. If he falls, I would draft him as a wide receiver 3, but he's being taken as a low-end wide receiver 2. I think there's too many other good options out there. I think in terms of your dynasty leagues too, he's getting a little long in the tooth. He's been in the NFL for a while. He's on his third team already. It's kind of a little dicey as well, plus the quarterback questions. And this is a run-first offense. Dallas was 5th in the league in pass attempts per game last year. Cleveland was 28th. So just not a good offense for Amari Cooper to move into. So all that adds up to me having him as a little bit overvalued for this year and in dynasty. What do you think of Cooper, Fitzy?
Yeah, he's a hard guy to get my head around. Like, I mean, watching him play, I feel like he's one of the better route runners in the league. I know the next-gen stats don't really bear that out as far as separation. But then again, Robert Woods got more average separation last year than Cooper Kupp did. So I'm not sure how much that really has matters. A bearing on. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, like he took a while to sort of get out of Michael Crabtree's shadow and with the Raiders and like never really completely came into his own in Dallas. Like, I don't know, man. I still think he's good. I mean, like, to me, Jair Alexander is the best cornerback in football. And 2 years ago, he clowned Jair Alexander in a game in Dallas. So I would imagine the game was over Marcus Mosier's temperature threshold. It was probably a warm weather game.
In a dome.
It was not in Green Bay. So
52 degrees. I think it'd be higher than that in that stadium. So
I kind of buy that. I don't think you're like pinning him as one of your. I don't think he's anyone's dynasty pillar on their team anymore. And
right.
If he is, you're probably in trouble. So I'll agree.
I just think
if
you're getting even value back for him right now, I'd probably take it.
Yeah.
If you're getting a younger player with more upside, I'd probably take it. You know, if you can go out and get Garrett Wilson, if you can get Treylon Burks for Amari Cooper long term, I'm pulling that trigger.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like in redraft, I think he could be to the. Like it could almost fall to the point where he's sort of a boring value this year.
Yeah,
but in Dynasty, yeah, I'm not super excited anymore.
All right, Fitzy, last one up. Who's it going to be?
All right, Bugs. We can blow this one fast because I want to talk about one of the guys that Friedman wanted to talk about.
Okay.
With you, and we can debate this one. So I'll go. This is Dalton Schultz, a tight end. And basically, it's just that in 3 years at Stanford, the guy never had more than 23 catches, 222 yards, or three touchdown catches in a single season. He's average athletically, like 53rd percentile speed score, 45th percentile burst score, 72nd percentile agility score. Barely a factor in his first two seasons with Dallas. Fine, a lot of tight ends aren't and start kind of slowly. Mildly pleasant surprise in 2020 when Blake Jarwin got hurt and then the big breakout last year. So he's kind of a one-year wonder. He immediately wants to, like, you know, have Jerry Jones back up the Brinks truck and, you know, unload piles of money. And they're like, not so fast, dude. We're going to franchise you, which, you know, probably is even a little bit generous there. I don't know that there's any reason to be super excited about him long-term when, you know, he is pretty much just a one-year wonder, call it 1.5 year wonder as far as the stats. Like the prospect pedigree is good, but not great. The athletic pedigree, not that special at all. Like, I don't know. And everyone's kind of in on him this year. And maybe there is, you know, with this dearth of other, you know, we don't have the Gallup, Cooper, CeeDee Lamb triumvirate anymore. It's just CeeDee Lamb and, you know, Jalen Tolbert and some other guys. So maybe, you know, we just see him get a lot of targets by default, but I'm just not excited long term.
Well, I think athletically, you're right. Athletically, he's a Jag. He's a replacement level player. I think he's really smart in his route running, and Dak loves that. And he's one of Dak's favorites. But my biggest concern about him this year and even moving forward is he hasn't signed his deal yet. He hasn't signed his tag. I don't know what they're going to do with him. Like, is he going to just sit? Well, what's going to happen with this contract? It's getting kind of ugly right now. They broached him about a long-term extension. They haven't come anywhere close. Like you said, that is what I'm concerned about, is him not getting signed, getting into camp late, losing a little bit of steam, and not being one of Dak's guys anymore. So I think what you said is correct. Athletically, he's not gifted as other tight ends. Like, you know, if you put Dalton Schultz's brain into Noah Fant's body, he'd probably be the perfect tight end, right? But can't do that. We can't Frankenstein these tight ends. So I think he's going a little high as well. My last one, I'll also burn through pretty quick here, Fitzy. It's also a tight end. Hunter Henry. Right now, he's tight end 11. I got him for this season, tight end 14. But this is one big number stuck out to me for him, is that 33.3% of his production was from 9 touchdowns that he scored last year. So of the top ranked 12 tight ends, Dawson Knox is the only one that also had 33% of his production come from touchdowns. He had the same 9, but which offense would you trust to throw more touchdowns this year, Fitzy? The Bills with Josh Allen or the Patriots with Mac Jones? Who's more likely to get those touchdowns back? I think it would be Knox, but you can say Knox is in that overrated section as well, because honestly, I started this as I wanted Knox to be my guy. And then I saw Hunter Henry had the same number and I went, ooh, it's probably Hunter Henry. So I just want to real quick point out to you the percentage in terms of their points scored last year that came from touchdowns. Kyle Pitts, 3.4%, the lowest of all because he only scored one touchdown last year. So there is touchdown regression coming for him in a positive way. Ertz was 8.3%. Waller was 9%. Goddard was 14.5%. Andrews was 17.9%. 19.6% for Kittle. 20.6% for Kelsey. 23% for Schultz, which could add up for you a little bit as well. And Hockenson was 24.8%. That's it. Everybody else was less than 25% of their production. Less than a quarter of their points came from these touchdowns. And over 33% for Knox and Hunter Henry. Plus, you look at this Patriots lineup. They added Parker and Tyquan Thornton, who are both 6'3" and could be potential red zone targets for Mac Jones. So I think Hunter Henry is going to be a bust this season. What do you think about Hunter Henry? If you're pivoting from Schultz, don't go to Henry, right?
I kind of agree with everything you said, Boggs. And the other thing is, like, do we always think the split between Henry and Jonnu Smith is going to be so severe? Like, it
the only reason I didn't put that point in there is because I looked at snap totals and Henry had 333 more snaps, is 888 to 555, I believe. So that was big. But also, I mean, that's got to count in there. They don't have another tight end in Buffalo to throw it to. They do in New England. Jonnu Smith can catch the ball if they give him a better opportunity.
Right. So, and then, you know, like, that was it. I remember right after the signing, Belichick raving about Jonnu's versatility and all this. And I was like, you know, I took Jonnu in some best balls last year and I sorely regretted it.
Yeah. I mean, Hunter Henry, he's a red zone target. And he had, he had a lot of red zone targets last year. So, you know, I think he had 20. He scored on 9 of them. So less than 50%. But like I said, I think some of those are going to go to Thornton. Some of those are going to go to Parker if those guys are in the field constantly. And I'm just not going to be, dipping my baskets into the Hunter Henry well here. It's not going to happen. I know you want to talk about some of Friedman's busts here. You have one that for you and
just
I to
one.
Argue about.
Just
so
one,
let's hear the one that you're upset about that's on Friedman's list.
All right. So, well, for the record, Friedman would have talked about Devin Singletary. You wouldn't have disagreed, I think. Chase Edmonds, Allen Robinson, and Mike Gesicki. But the one guy I want to talk about is Antonio Gibson. So Friedman was going to make the point that, like, it looks like they just want him to be like this between the 20s back because they brought in Brian Robinson, who, you know, looks like a goal line type. They've got, you know, they went out of their way to re-sign J.D. McKissick. So, you know, like, what's the upside for Gibson here? And is he, do they just not see him as the three down back despite his experience as like a college receiver? Here's my point on Gibson, Boggs. I mean, this guy is 6'2 and 220 and has sub 4.4 speed. He's
runs
basically
like a deer.
Jonathan Taylor as far as size and speed combination. He has in his first two NFL seasons scored 11 and 10 touchdowns. He played with a freaking crack in his shin last year. He and had some big workloads like running on this broken shin. Like, and he just turned 24. Like, everyone hates the usage, and I get it, man. Like, they do seem hell bent on sticking him into this platoon, but especially in Dynasty. And we talked about this with Shane Manila, where Shane traded him to me for a pick that turned out to be James Cook. And then he, with his next pick, Shane takes Brian Robinson to just try to check maybe. But man, like, if Gibson had not gotten his chance yet, if he was like a backup and we saw like the dimensions, the speed, the size, the knowing he has experience in college as a wide receiver and like can catch passes, everyone would be clamoring for this dude to get his chance, and people would be salivating over Antonio Gibson. Yet he has gotten his chance. He's punched in 21 touchdowns in his first two seasons, and now people are off him. Like, I don't get that at all, man. Like, yes, I very much want to buy low on Antonio Gibson if I can.
Look, I don't disagree with the talent that Antonio Gibson has, but I do think he's played banged up over the last couple seasons. And, you know, this is what Ron Rivera saw. This is why I like Brian Robinson. And Friedman has had this post on his Twitter for a while. It's every Alabama running back in the Nick Saban era that's been drafted in the top 100 picks has had a 1,000-yard season in the NFL. So Brian Robinson is in there. He's among that group. We heard Ron Rivera talking positively about Brian Robinson after dropping him and saying, you know, comparing him and Gibson as these two guys, a lot like Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. And look, both running backs had success in that system. So what I think is, I think both these guys are going to have success playing here. I think McKissick is way more the guy on the outside looking in than either of these two backs, because they can both carry a big workload. I think when you have had these lingering issues, this broken shin, this rolled ankle, like these little injuries that have added up for Gibson, playing at less than 100%, you draft a guy like Robinson to take a little bit of that load off of him. So you give Brian Robinson more of a workload. I think he's a 10 to 12 touches guy. I think you want like 17 to 20 for Gibson, somewhere in that neighborhood. And you want Carson Wentz to not throw the ball. I think that's the real goal here is you build those wide receivers with McLaurin, with Dotson, you know, Logan Thomas is coming back. So you have a good group of wideouts if Diami Brown can do anything, but you're a run first offense. You want to keep Chase Young and Montez Sweat on the sideline gassed up, so when they come out, they can attack the quarterback and potentially get the ball back in your offense's hands quickly. So I think you're a run first team with Carson Wentz as your QB. I think both can succeed. I just think that Brian Robinson's arrival is going to take a little bit of that shine off of Antonio Gibson, but he's still going to go out and have big games. And if they want to move him and play him as a slot wide receiver, they can. I mean, Curtis Samuel is going to be hurt week two, like he always is. So just stick Antonio Gibson into that spot right there and let him run some routes out of the slot and get the ball in his hands a different way, and get him the ball in space with that size and speed. So I think the sky's the limit still for Antonio Gibson. I just don't like the fact that they took Brian Robinson. So I'm with Freeman on this a little bit more than you are, but I don't think that the arrival of Robinson ruins Gibson's value specifically in Dynasty. This year could look a little wonky, but once they get it worked out, I think they'll both be productive. So I'm a little more with Freeman on this, but in terms of Dynasty, if I can trade James Cook to get Antonio Gibson, I'm doing it 10 out of 10 times every time. So
yeah,
I'm with you there.
That's fair.
Yeah,
man. I mean, that is so, and just final point on it, Boggs. Like, I like Brian Robinson too a lot, but I think NFL teams know they need like multiple running backs, especially you made the point. I mean, Gibson has been banged up. They need the insurance, man, because you don't want to be left with what, Jarrett Patterson.
He went to McKissick and Jarrett Patterson last year. Didn't work. You know, they've proven that can't work. So McKissick is nice as a receiving option. You could put him in the slot too. The guy can catch a lot of footballs, but I just, Robinson can catch the ball too, so he can do everything. So you have a three down back coming here in the system with already a three down back. So it's going to be dicey. That's it for Bust for this week. We'll be back with you next week at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine to follow my man Fitzy. What do you got coming up this week?
Just prepping for August, man. I mean, we know that so many more users, you know, a lot of people just, some people don't follow this 24/7, 365 days a year, Boggs. Some people cramming jump back in. So we are going to have a big August. I mean, I'm trying to finalize our article menu, and man, there's going to be a lot coming like every day on Fantasy Pros. So be sure to check the site like every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cram for that final. Your actual draft is your final exam. You got to get there. Do yourself some mocks. Sign up on Fantasy Pros. Run the mock simulator. Do all the stuff that you possibly can. Run your trades through the trade analyzer. It's a fun time to be a football fan. Is the calm before the storm. For us, it's not calm at all before the storm. I feel like it gets more calm in the season than it is the month right before the season, Fitzy. So you can find me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm, of course, here. I know at some point here, maybe just a week or two before the season, the IDP podcast with Joe Pizzapia and myself is going to come back soon. I'm going to be doing college football stuff with Thor, the newest hire over at Betting Pros. So he's got some articles that have come out recently, so you can check those out as well. And of course, the Welsh and I have expanded ITL. We're doing live streams for 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, every single day, starting at 1 Eastern. You can catch us on Twitch for the first hour. You can catch us on the Patreon for the second hour of live streaming stuff every day. So please check that out. If you would, follow me on Twitter and you can see all my other stuff there. Individual Defensive Podcast with Gary, CFP Winning Edge with Nick and Xavier. I'm all over the place. So you can hear my voice if you like it somewhere, talking about something at all times. So that'll wrap it up for us. Enjoy it. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.